Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. We've been speaking a good bit, some of last week and certainly this week, about needing to make some clear decisions in our lives. You can't drift into the kingdom of God. You can't drift, certainly into purgatory, but you can't drift into the kingdom of God. You need to make some clear decisions. Not hundreds of them, but just several very clear decisions. Who am I and where am I going? You need to think about that. What does it mean to be a son or daughter of God? And where are you going? We need to think about, do the decisions in my daily life indicate what my priorities really are? That's important. Doesn't mean that you're called to live perfectly, but is the orientation of my life and the decisions that I make daily, relationships, what my priorities are, those things that involve myself, apart from my work, what kinds of decisions do I make about recreation? What kind of decisions do I make about friendships? What kind of decisions do I make about what I eat, what I drink? What decisions do I make about what I watch, whether it be the old TV or whether it be the internet now? We need to make clear decisions because, as I've put it before, the culture is a lethal culture. It seeks to destroy. It really does. It attracts many times our basest appetites. It wants to destroy us. And we as Catholics and as Christians, we need to be very clear about who I am and where I'm going. And that doesn't mean a strict, regimented, restricted life. It means a life that you will know the freedom of God. And the freedom of God is glorious, even when he calls us sometimes to hard decisions. When you live with God, in God, for God, if that's the orientation of your life, no matter what your occupation, no matter what your state in life, if you've made that basic decision that God is the center of my life and I want my life to reflect that, that doesn't mean that every word needs to be a prayer. You're going to have a lot of fun living in the kingdom of God, but it's fun that leads to wholeness and to refreshment and to happiness. It's not the, quote, fun recreation that leads to drunkenness and addiction and all kinds of sexual problems. All that does is tear us down and destroy us eventually. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to give us. But it means, you know, so many people will say to me, well, I'm not a saint, but you can be. You just have to make certain decisions by your will. Decisions. This is what I'm going to watch. This is who I'm going to associate with. This is what my goals are in life. Really looking at them to see, do they orient me toward eternal life or not? Let's take a look at the reading now from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. As Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant while he conversed with the Lord. When Aaron then and the other children of Israel saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become, they were afraid to come near him. Only after Moses called to them did Aaron and all the rulers of the community come back to him. They were afraid. And Moses then spoke to them. Later on, all the children of Israel came up to him, and he enjoined on them all that the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When he finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses entered the presence of the Lord to converse with him, he removed the veil until he came out again. On coming out, he would tell the children of Israel all that had been commanded. And then the children of Israel would see that the skin of Moses' face was radiant. So he would again put the veil over his face until he went in to converse with the Lord. The presence of God was so strong in him. And God had given him the privilege of speaking with him. Moses' face became radiant. People wanted him to cover his face because it was too bright and too frightening. You and I, brothers and sisters, need to be signs of his presence today. If we're living in a state of grace because of what Jesus did for us upon the cross, if we're living in a state of grace, if we're seeking to follow him, if we're seeking to serve him, if we're seeking to reach out to others and help meet their needs, if we're living a life that is good, good in the sense that we are God's children, God's sons and daughters, and we're living out of that reality, then, brothers and sisters, God will shine through you in his own way. It might not be so obvious as Moses, but it will attract. It will bring peace and hope to people. When we follow the Lord, we become more and more like him. As we become more and more like him and the obstacles decrease, his life shines through us in some way. Maybe not like Moses here, but his life shines through us in some way, and people's lives are touched and changed. There's a whole drama of the kingdom of God that you need to have eyes of faith and ears of faith. Open your heart, because the world has so much that wants to militate against the kingdom of God. We want to be children of the kingdom of heaven, not of this world, that God might work in us and then through us. Psalm 99, holy is the Lord our God. Holy is he. So extol the Lord our God, worship at his holy mountain, for holy is the Lord our God. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." So my question to you is, have you found the pearl of great price? Have you found the kingdom of God? All you have to do, if you have not, even if you're seemingly lost and walking in darkness, many times we don't even know that. And if you're lost and walking in darkness, or if you are like many searching for the kingdom of heaven, just tell the Lord that. Lord, I want your kingdom. Lord, I want out of the darkness of this sin. I want out of the prison of my depression and the darkness and the fear and the anger and the hatred and the bitterness. I want out of it, Lord. That's all you have to say. Lord, lead me to your kingdom. And if life is going fairly well and you feel like you are following the Lord, then say, Lord, help me to follow you more closely. Draw me nearer to you. Help me to think of what your priorities would be when I'm making decisions. Help me to sacrifice myself to serve the needs of others. Help me to think of you. Help me to discipline myself so that I give you time every day to pray. Those are the kinds of things we need to be deciding. Those are the kinds of things we need to be doing. And then we walk in the light of God's life. We live and walk in the light of his kingdom. And life changes. Priorities change. Even as a religious for many, many years, The closer I draw to the Lord, the closer he gives me the grace to come to him, the more my priorities shift. It doesn't mean that those priorities are wrong. It just means that I begin to understand more and more what God sees as the top priorities. Only he can see them, and he reveals them to me through his Holy Spirit. He reveals them by experience. You see the fruit that's born, and you say, I need to pay more attention to this area in my life. I need to pay less attention to this because it's just serving me. Lord, I want to serve you, and I want to serve your people. It's an orientation. Many people will say to me, I just don't have time for all that. Well, if you don't have time for that, you don't have time for God. And I don't think that's God's plan. So ask him, help me, Lord. Show me how to organize my day so that I really do turn to you periodically and change course if I need to. If I find I'm going down the path of anger or jealousy or envy or whatever the case may be, Lord, give me the grace to stop right there and to say, Lord, I'm not going to go down that path. I want to follow you. Help me to give up whatever anger is in me or bitterness or hatred. Help me, Lord. Change my heart, oh God. You start praying that way and God will do it for you. But it's all about making decisions. Prioritizing the kingdom of God is first. God is first. His kingdom is first. Everything else will fall into its rightful place if you do that. Dorothy Day wrote, "The reason for our existence is to praise God, to love him, and to serve him. And we can do this only by loving our brothers and sisters. This is the great truth that makes us realize God. This is the great truth that makes us realize God." She says, "Great crimes, it is true, have been committed in the name of human brotherhood that they may serve to obscure the truth. But we must keep on saying it. We must keep on saying it because love is the reason for our existence. It's what we all live for. It's what we all live for. We are seeking what we think to be the good for us. And if we don't know it any better, it's often the radio, newspapers, press, pulpit who have neglected to inform us. We love what is presented to us to love, and God is not much presented. It is as hard to see Jesus in the respectable Christian today as the man on the Bowery." She says, brothers and sisters, that we have become poor in this country, that we've been drawn away from the reality and are choosing the wrong things. I know I've been speaking about this a number of programs recently, but I really want to call it to your attention. Open your heart and say, Lord, you are first in my life. Help me to organize my life in light of that truth. And God will supply everything you need. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.